Welcome back, everyone. It's Tuesday. Happy Thread Talk Tuesday. I'm your host, Teresa.
And I'm Denver. And today's episode theme is a screw loose.
A lot of people have a screw loose.
A lot of people.
Doing this podcast has made us realize how many weirdos there are out there.
How many loose screws are out there. There's a lot of them. And we kind of focused in on a kind of a theme for some really screwy people here.
Yeah. So I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited to get in. We have been making huge gains. We finally got monetized on YouTube. So we're starting to get a little bit of payback from all of our hard work. This is episode 13.
Oh, wow.
So, we are just rolling along now.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun.
We've really been enjoying it. And I think you guys have been enjoying it as well. We've been receiving a lot of positive feedback. So please keep that coming.
Yes. Thank you.
If you have hateful things to say, keep it to yourself.
No, I mean, you can still drop it down. I don't mind. It helps with the algorithm. Algorithm doesn't know if it's nice or mean comments. I feel like anybody who's listening to like the actual full episode podcast, who's listening to us say that, are like pretty big supporters. We only get the haters on like the TikTok versions and the Instagram versions for like the short clips.
Yeah.
But I feel like anybody who's listening to this is probably a pretty solid fan. So we appreciate you guys listening to our stuff. We had a little bit of an adventure today before we did the podcast. So we'll try to get to that at the end of the episode
if we can remember. We have Jack here with us. If you're watching on YouTube,
we got a nice co-host. So if you are listening on Spotify and you don't see Jack, come check us out on YouTube.
I'm all decked out in pink today. I'm wearing my new sweater, my How Hard Can It Be Boys Do It from Maddie Mitchell.
Teresa's a fan.
Favorite influencer. I've never bought influencer merch before, and this one I just had to. I'm a huge fan of hers, and I love her podcast, Parked Car Convos. So if you're watching this, Maddie, I love you.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get some like own merch. I'm like, we should wear our own merch sweaters and sell some merch on our stuff. So if you guys are interested in some of that, send us a DM and we'll let you in on our current designs that we got going on. Mm-hmm. But we ready to get into our first story?
Yeah, who wants to go first?
Let's dive into it. All right, so this is an interesting one. This one comes from the subreddit No Stupid Questions. Hmm. If I buy 5 pairs of the same thing and wear it to work every day, is that a W or an L? I work most exclusively in an office. I plan to buy 5 of the exact same top and the exact same pants, then wear a new pair each day. I'll wash my clothes every weekend, but my family thinks this is stupid and I think it's genius. Work doesn't seem to care either way, so what are some pros and cons?
I feel like that's totally fine. Like 5 different pairs of pants and 5 different pairs of t-shirts.
That's fine. I think this dude's got a screw loose. Who's going to wear the same thing to work every single day?
Well, you can like, that would be 25 outfits, right?
No, it'd be 5.
But
you're getting 25.
5 different pants and 5 different tops?
So that's 10.
But if you wear the beige pants with your red shirt and then you wear your red shirt with the green pants, that
they're all going to be the same.
Why?
Let's say they're all a black pair of pants and a white shirt.
Well, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he
get That's what he's asking. He's saying he's going to buy 5 of the same top and pants.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am misunderstanding. Okay.
He's going to wear the exact same thing every single day.
Okay.
So people who don't know him and just see him are going to be like, this dude never washes his clothes. He never has any other clothes. He wears the exact same thing every single day.
Okay. I get it. I get where the screw is loose now.
Yeah. Nobody does that.
That's a little weird.
You have to wear different things. Just literally on the pure social thing. So nobody keeps thinking you're wearing the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would be too embarrassed to do that. There's no way. Like, if you're going to buy 5 of the same items, just buy different ones. Like, you're already going to spend the money.
Yeah, if you're only wearing 5 things a week, well, just wear different ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally fine if you wear the same 5 things every week. Like, Monday, you wear the same thing. Tuesdays, you wear the same thing. Like, that's fine, I think. Still a little bit weird, but
yeah.
Like,
I can understand, depending on what your work is, like, maybe wearing the same pants. Like 2 days in a row?
Yeah.
But like you got to change the shirt every single day. That's what people are looking at. You got to change the shirt.
Yeah, this guy, I would be embarrassed. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got to screw loose. Just don't do that. There's no pros. What are the pros?
Oh, he's asking for pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Like, yeah, there's no pros. There's no pros.
I mean, you can save time in the morning picking out your outfit, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing, because your outfit's the same every single time.
That's the only thing I could think of.
He certainly sounds like a guy, though. So, and guys don't usually have that challenge of picking out an outfit.
Oh, yeah, I fully assumed it was a guy.
Yeah, because no girl would want to wear the same fucking shit 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this dude... Just this question is just, I was like, yeah, that's a screw loose. This is a quick one to start this episode off.
That's funny. Did he get shredded in the comments?
Yeah, he got shredded in the comments. Absolutely destroyed. Yeah. I went through, I couldn't see a single pro. There was nobody who was giving me a pro on that one. Yeah.
That's a good one to start us off.
It was. All right, your turn.
Okay. This one comes from AITAH and was posted 1 day ago. Am I the asshole for telling my brother he is an idiot for wanting a paternity test? I, 20 male, have a brother, Jack. 29 male, who is married to his wife, Amy, 26, about 2 years ago, they had their first child, Lisa. On our side of the family, we all look extremely alike. Both of our parents have brown hair and brown eyes, so do me and Jack. Amy, on the other side, is from Norway and looks very different. She has blonde hair and blue eyes and genuinely has a very Scandinavian look to her, opposed to our very American look. So to what I thought was no one's surprise, of course Lisa got features from her mom. They look pretty much identical, and it seems that they look more alike as time passes on. This was all fine from my understanding. I don't know why it would even be a problem. But about 1 year ago, my brother started telling me about how his coworker has a daughter that looks like the female version of him. He said that everyone said that the firstborn, especially if it's a daughter, is a spitting image of their father. I did not find that weird, as I had heard that before, but I think it is kind of obvious that genetics work weird and in different ways, and what is common is not always what happens to everyone. I told him just that genetics work in surprising ways sometimes. However, as time went on, he started saying some weird stuff like this, like asking me where I thought Lisa got her blonde hair from, which obviously was from Amy. He did this with other stuff, like the nose, the eyes, the little mannerisms Lisa has. It was extremely obvious it was all coming from Amy, which I always told him. Now I have found out that he is demanding that they take a paternity test, as he is extremely sure that Lisa is not his. Amy is extremely distraught by this and has tried to explain to him that Lisa is his, that she just got stuff from Amy, and that happens. He is threatening her with divorce if she doesn't agree to do a paternity test, as that would be his confirmation that she cheated. She got to our parents' house and broke down telling us all this. Our parents have texted him and called him. I have too, but now he is angry with us too because we are taking the cheater side, his words. She and Lisa are staying with us, and she is extremely confused on where this is all coming from. I called my brother yesterday, and this time he picked up the phone. I managed to have a conversation with him and asked him why, if he had any evidence that Amy ever did cheat, or why he thought so. He basically told me that he did not have any evidence, but he knew and was 100% sure on that. I asked him why and how. He told me that the firstborn daughters always behave, look, and are a carbon copy of their father, but Lisa is not even remotely like that. He said that if it isn't like that, then Lisa would at least have some features from him, which she doesn't. I was getting angry at him because it just seems so weird to even come to that conclusion. I told him that he was an idiot for all of this and that he will regret all this later on. He hung up and is even madder at all of us, saying that Amy has manipulated us all and that we can't crawl back to him when the truth is out. I have not told Amy that this is the reason or that I have talked to him because I don't think she will react that well to hearing this. However, my parents are saying that it was extremely unnecessary of me to behave like this when I got talking to him, as this may have been our chance to have a mature and serious conversation with him. So, am I the asshole for how I reacted?
No. Like that. This dude has got a screw loose. Like, she reacted appropriately. This dude's off his rocker. Yeah. Like, bro,
I don't know.
This comes out like a lack of trust, I guess, in your partner. Like,
But it sounds like it's like...
Sounds like he's watching the wrong side of TikTok or something.
Yeah, like something's in his head.
Yeah, something's in his head where he's so recently, dead set. Though. Recent, where he's like, this is the proper way. I'm like, dude, genetics are so weird. Like, you don't get to control any of that stuff. There's no written rule or anything.
Yeah.
There's maybe a percentage that, most likely, this is the most likely outcome. Doesn't mean it's going to be your outcome.
Yeah.
Like, he's going on a tear. And a question, though, like, you don't... I mean, you don't need your wife's permission to do a paternity test, do you?
I don't actually know.
You could just pluck some of the kid's hair and test it against your DNA. That's what you're wondering about, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, like, you didn't need to cause this huge issue. Like, what is your... If your wife says yes to paternity test, your wife is doing nothing.
I don't actually know.
I don't know either. Let me know in the comments. But, like, your wife... would have to do nothing. It's the dad and the child who needs to match their DNA.
I think so. I would assume so.
You would just pull the kid's hair and you test them against your hair. And I would think, or like get the saliva, whatever it is. You don't need your wife's permission for that. You could do that shit all on your own. So you are digging yourself a hole, which if you really need to do the answer. Now, you would be a shitty person if you did that without your wife's knowledge, but like whatever.
If it gives you peace of mind.
Then you don't need to involve your wife. Just go get it done.
That honestly would have been a better alternative than to start this fight and demanding a divorce. Like,
bro, here's what I would do if I was the wife. I'd be like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I would have been like, okay, fine. If you want to act this fucking crazy.
I'll do it. And then as you deliver the results, divorce papers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Straight up. It's like, you don't trust me. You don't have faith in me, our relationship, and there's a lack of trust here. So I no longer trust you. So yeah, he probably cheated. You know what? He probably cheated.
Yeah.
I always find people will project their insecurities onto the people. People who will cheat and have cheated will then go nuts about their partner and how they've cheated because they know what they have done and they feel guilty to a point where they now suspect they're the partner of doing the same thing because they know they've done it. And if I've done it, then my partner's probably done it. No, dude, you're just a piece of shit and you got to screw this.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Yeah, it's weird because Lisa is 2 years old. So this is coming out of left field. Like,
huge left field.
I don't know if there's like...
I think he expected the kid to look like him. Somebody probably, co-worker said like, oh, my kid is a split image of me.
Yeah, maybe someone's in his ear or something. I don't know. He's on some conspiracy theory side of TikTok.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
I don't know. Going down a rabbit hole. So there is an edit. I haven't read it yet, but...
Ooh, okay.
I've seen a few comments about this and thought I would try my best to answer. But since I am just hearing about this from Amy and I was not there during the whole ordeal, I don't have 100% of the answers and they are basically just what she told me. He basically sat her down, told her that he was going to be honest with her. Then he said that he did not think Lisa was his, that he basically knew she cheated on him and that he would do a paternity test. He did not go behind her back and do it. Why? I can't answer that. They then had a fight and I don't know who left first. I don't know exactly what was said. All I know is that my brother is at a friend's house and Amy is here. Amy is not upright refusing the test either, but when he brought it up, she was extremely hurt by him, insinuating that she would cheat on him. She had been with my brother for 7 years. They had a seemingly great relationship up until this. She is mostly hurt by the accusations and that her relationship is most likely never going to be the same. She told me that the last couple of years just felt like a lie, that he, for the most part, thought she was cheating. Edit 2. Thanks again. I have tried reading everything both in the comments and messages. The test will happen. I will update in the meantime if anything happens that's worth updating for. If not, I will try my best to just update with the results when they are done. Thanks for everything again.
I feel like the relationship is just a huge strain.
Yeah,
on it now.
There's no going back from this, honestly.
I don't think there is. Like, he has shown that he doesn't have faith and trust in her. And she's going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They're going to be on eggshells. Other things are going to pop up. This is going to come back. It's never going to be actually forgiven. It's going to be future fights. They're going to come around at 100%. This point. And it's like, remember when you were whatever? All that stuff. Like, I think, I don't know. It's kind of doomed.
Yeah.
Like, if I was the guy in this situation and, like, we had a kid... And for some stupid fucking reason, I would think this way. I would do it by myself without ever mentioning you. And then when it came back false, I would take that shit to my grave.
Yeah, exactly.
I would never, ever tell you, I would, if I for some reason was in a point of mind space where I'm like, I don't trust you and I have doubts.
But at that point, it's like, just end the relationship.
I would do it. No, I'd because it could just be me. So I would find out by myself.
Yeah.
And then if it came back that you did nothing wrong and the kid is fucking mine and all that, so I would bury it, delete every email, bury it, take that to my grave.
Yeah.
I would never, ever tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I know. And it's weird. Like, you and Kat look alike. Madison doesn't really look alike. Like, it happens sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes siblings don't. Like, for him to think, like, everything is the same, like, one rule applies to everyone. Like, how have you gone this far in life thinking that way?
Yeah. Also, like, do you see any features that aren't hers and aren't yours?
Right. Yeah.
Because you're saying everything looks like your wife. It's like, okay, well, that's the wife. Like, obviously those features carry down.
Yeah.
But are you seeing like anything that's not yours and not hers?
Mm-hmm.
Or is just nothing's yours and you feel left out?
Yeah. Delusional. This guy's delusional. He has a screw loose.
He does have a screw loose.
Okay. Well, since this was only posted a day ago, maybe we can update.
We'll check in on this episode. Story. Yeah. Yeah. Put a little follow button on there. See if we can get an update for that
actually,
one.
Actually, I'll do that right now.
Perfect. All right. Moving along to my story. Before I get into my story, I do need to give a shout out to Arturno. They are the manufacturers of our silhouette sign behind us here. They do mainly automotive silhouettes, acrylic silhouettes that you can hang on the walls in your office, living room, workspace. They make great presents. If you know anybody who loves automotives, check them out. Arturno.ca. I'll leave a link in the description down below. Use Thread Talk as a discount code for $15 off your first purchase. So thank you for Arturno for sponsoring this podcast episode. Now, getting into my next story. This one is a pretty good one. Am I the asshole for ordering food that my husband can't eat? I, 28 female, have been with my husband, 28 male, for 9 years. We've been married for 2 as of this summer. We have a daughter who is 7 years old. We rarely ever fight, and if we do, it has been more major and serious things. But this, what to me was a small issue, is now turning into the biggest argument that we have ever had. So the problem is that me and our daughter love spicy food. We always have it, and ever since I felt comfortable with her trying it, she has loved it too. Sure, we couldn't compete in spicy eating contests, and even though our tolerance is high, it is not extreme. But my husband, he hates it. He is one of those people who thinks spice is unnecessary and only likes to use salt and pepper. This is not a problem. Sometimes I make a batch to suit his taste and then another batch for me and my daughter. Sometimes me and our daughter will just eat how things are to his liking, as too little spices is easier to handle than too much as it would be for him. Now, this Saturday, he was away with some friends to go pick up some car parts. It was a 12-hour drive in total, and they left the house at 9 a.m. I went ahead and ordered dinner from an Indian place for my daughter and I because it's her favorite place. My husband also likes this place, but he just orders something mild when we get food from there. Since my husband was not home, I did not order anything for him as I thought they would have eaten on the road since they were gone for so long. When he got home, he greeted us immediately and then went to the fridge and saw some boxes left for food. When he opened them, he obviously noticed that he could not eat any of them. Then we argued for about 5 minutes over this, with the consensus of the argument being him saying that I should have either thought about him and ordered something for him that he could eat, or I should have asked him if he had eaten or wanted anything. I argued that I would have probably done so if it was just a few hours and that he was away. But he was gone for 12 hours and came home about 4 hours after we usually eat. So I assumed that he had already eaten. Now, he was barely talking to me. He cooked his own dinner for himself because, in his words, I can't be bothered. He texted me from the living room when I was cooking for me and my daughter the next day that he hoped I was happy to have my food my way now. He is extremely weird about this. He has never, ever acted this way about something like this before, and I'm getting even more confused by it. Am I the asshole?
Obviously not. This is insane. I think this guy has some built up frustration probably and has never communicated it properly. And he just exploded. I think that's what happened because, yeah, it is such a minor issue. That like a phone call, like he could have called the wife and been like, hey, I'm really hungry. Can you make sure you order something for me when I get home? Like, this is something that could have been easily solved by just like picking up the phone and talking to your wife.
Yep.
There's no need to like blow up.
No.
And have this as like a couple day argument. You know what I mean? That's.
Yeah. And like, okay, you got home at 9 and they usually eat at 5. You are 4 hours after dinner, dude.
Who eats at 9 o'clock? Like
you should have got your own McDonald's takeout or something like that. Top comment. Your husband should have let you know when he was coming home.
Mm-hmm.
He was planning to eat dinner even though he was getting home hours after dinner time. Late enough, you would have reasonably thought he would have fed himself somewhere along the road. Not the asshole for not being a mind reader.
Mm-hmm.
Any reasonable person would have thought, oh, husband won't be home for dinner. Now is a good time. The kid and I can get some spicy food. Not the asshole.
Yeah.
OP does respond to that. She's like, that was what I thought. It is not unusual for them to take these long drives, and this is the first time they have not eaten when they have been away for so long. So I kind of thought that it would be no problem.
That's really weird then.
Super weird. There's a small edit here.
Mm-hmm.
To be clear, no, my husband did not cheat. He was with his friend picking up car parts. He does not have a girlfriend or feels guilty about something that happened on the trip. Mm. We talked this morning and he told me that he just felt forgotten about. And after he ate, he was too ashamed to say he was sorry for starting an argument about this. I also apologized for not even texting him and told him I was sorry for hurting him and also continued the argument without considering his feelings. Everything is great. And from now on, we will just try better communication.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Just the Two of Us. It is your broadcast host, Mr. Zach. So I want you to relax, put your feet up, grab your glass of wine and a snack, because you are tuning into my broadcast. See you later.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have apologized to him.
Fuck no.
I did nothing wrong.
Who's hangry? Maybe you should have some sympathy for this hangry person. Teresa gets...
What are you saying, Denver?
You get hangry a lot. As soon as Teresa gets hungry, she's angry. If Teresa's sleepy, she's angry. I like to call it slangry.
Slangry.
Because whenever Teresa's like bedtime sleepy, she gets angry. Teresa's hungry or something. She needs a Snickers bar because she's not herself.
Denver is putting me on blast. And Denver is never angry.
I don't do anger.
He literally never does.
I don't
get angry. He's an angel.
I am. Praise me.
But yeah, that's definitely a screw loose. Very appropriate for this topic.
Yeah, that screw backed out on his 12-hour drive. It was like rattling the screw because like to see it coming out, it was like backing up. His friends probably like looking over him in the driver's seat being like, oh, I'm fucking scared. I'm not talking to this dude. He's fucking rattled. Probably didn't get the car part or like the right deal, price of the car or something. Probably had to like wrench it off a car that was rusted and just couldn't. He probably just had a miserable day and he was just looking forward to some like good leftovers.
Yeah, that or maybe he's mad about something else about their relationship where she's not giving him enough attention or he feels like he's been forgotten about before.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be that too.
But he needs to communicate that then. Sounds like that's still not her fault.
At communicating.
Yeah. Yeah. She can't read your mind.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with not wanting spicy food. I mean, I'm not a spicy food person.
Denver you've actually been starting. You've been surprising me.
The very mild stuff.
No, you've been surprising me. The last time we had Bobo Box. Yeah. You said you tried my spicy French fries and you're like, oh, I like it. You said
That was a joke.
Oh.
I didn't like the spice. I just I'm okay with it now.
Now you say it's a joke.
I will say when we get the chicken sushi, I do get the spicy mayo on top. I like spicy mayo now. I like the spicy mayo.
You've definitely grown.
Yeah.
Before
I used to only have salt and pepper.
He couldn't even if it was too much black pepper, he was like, oh, spicy.
Like sweet chili heat Doritos, that's spicy.
Sometimes he thinks barbecue Doritos are spicy.
Sometimes barbecues are spicy.
But you're,
Teresa's Italian, and her parents put hot peppers on everything. Every dinner I go over to their house.
They grow their own.
Cosmo's always like, oh, hot peppers for Denver? Denver's going to have some hot peppers tonight?
One day you will. My mom never liked spicy stuff.
There's no need to do that. The food tastes delicious without it.
No, it's fun. It's fun when you torture yourself.
That's not fun. Torture is not fun.
It brings excitement to the food. I don't know.
Sure.
People who get it. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Totally.
All right. This one comes from Am I the Asshole? It was posted 18 days ago. Am I the asshole for asking my cousin to move the date of his second wedding? My 29 female cousin Frankie, 33 male, and his wife Nora, 32 female, have been married almost 15 years. They got married a couple weeks after Nora's 18th birthday. Last weekend, they announced to the family at a get-together that they are having a second wedding in September, as they are now in a position where they could afford to finally celebrate their marriage with friends and family the way they wanted to. When they married originally, it was just the two of them and two friends at the courthouse. But Nora had always wanted the big, fancy white wedding. Now, usually this wouldn't be a problem. I'm happy for Frankie and Nora, and excited to get to attend their wedding. However, the date they've picked is the day before my wedding. My fiancé, 29 male, have been together for 9 years and have been planning our wedding for the last 3 years. We have a date and venue booked for 2 years. Our save the dates only went out last month. When they announced their date, I asked Nora privately if they were joking with the date they had picked. Nora looked at me really confused until I pointed out that they were having their second wedding the day before my wedding. Nora told me that the date they'd chosen was the date they'd met in high school, and it was an important date to them. Later on, Frankie asked me why I wasn't happy for them, and I told him that it was rude of them to have their second wedding the day before mine. I told him that he had essentially ruined my wedding because no one is going to attend two weddings in a row on a weekend, especially not our elderly grandparents. Frankie apologized and said he didn't know our wedding date when they booked it. He told me that they weren't going to move the date and had the gall to suggest that I move my wedding if it mattered that much to me. I snapped and told him that it was tacky to have a redo wedding because they decided to get married on a whim at 18 with barely a penny between. Frankie got mad with me, and he and Nora left shortly after. That night, Frankie and my aunt, his mom, sent me angry messages telling me that I know why they got married so young. Nora came from an abusive household. She was essentially the punching bag for her brother and mother to let the abuse continue. They married because Nora and Frankie saw it as her only way out. My aunt and Frankie have since told other family members who are mostly mad that I suggested Frankie move his second wedding. Some think that given he's already married, then he should move it. Am I the asshole for asking my cousin to move the date of his wedding?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Like, bro, she's been planning it way longer, had the date sent out. Like, I can understand, okay, you did a courthouse wedding to get her out of a bad situation. I don't know why you would actually need to get married for that. Like, you could just move out. But if you thought that's the answer, like, that's fine. But, like, you have someone in your family who has already booked a wedding. You don't book a wedding for the day before. Like, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
If you want that date, wait till the next year. You've been waiting this long. You can wait one more year.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You don't need to do it right away. You already are married and you're doing the ceremony wedding, the second wedding for the first real wedding type of like party, you know, like you can do that whenever. You could do that next year on your favorite date.
Mm-hmm.
You never book something a day before another family member's wedding.
Yeah. And picking the day that they met seems to be a theme. We also read another story a couple weeks back, I think.
Who remembers the day that they met?
That's really odd to me. I don't know why that's such a significant date. Like maybe like anniversaries August are 12th. Significant. We met on August 12th?
Yep.
You're lying.
How do you not remember that?
You're lying.
Yeah, I know. This is some day in August.
I don't know. I feel like there's many other significant dates too. Like
yeah.
Maybe the date that you originally got married.
100%. You should be doing it that day. You should be doing it the day that you originally got married.
or like dating anniversary, like engagement anniversary. Like there's so many other significant dates too.
Yeah. Doesn't just, like regardless of what your significant date is, you don't plan it the day before.
Yeah.
Even the weekend before would be like rude. But that's outright. That's outright outrageous.
Yeah.
To do it the day before.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine.
Like, we've been planning it for 3 years and they're just going off a whim. And I go, yeah, we booked a venue 2 weeks ago.
I like, that's insane to me. Like, people have no, like, self-awareness. That's what it is. They're lacking self-awareness and empathy for your family members.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. Overall, though, is not the asshole. There is an edit to add. My save the dates didn't go out until last month. However, my family has been aware since we booked it. We've got a family group chat with Frankie, and I posted it there. So just, he keeps fully getting knew.
Even worse. Fuck Frankie.
He fully knew.
Fuck you, Frankie.
Yeah. Top comment. Not the asshole. That is absolutely crazy behavior from your cousin who knew exactly when your wedding is and planned their big vow renewal for that day. Oh, sorry, for the day before. Engaging with them further won't help anything because they see absolutely nothing wrong with their actions. Just ignore them. If anyone besides Frankie, Nora, and your aunt talk to you about it, just say, I have had my wedding date planned for 2 years. Frankie and Nora were both aware of the date well in advance, and the save the dates have been sent out for my wedding to everyone I want celebrating with my fiance and I. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Don't say anything bad about them. Don't gossip about them. Just emphasize how much you're looking forward to your wedding. You can only control your own behavior.
Boom. Mic drop. And the people that don't show up for your wedding, cut.
Yeah. No, exactly. But I don't see why. I understand the grandparents, why it would be a lot for the elderly people to maybe not go to a wedding 2 days in a row. But most people should be going to both. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Even the alcoholic ones.
Yeah, especially the alcoholic ones.
The more alcohol. This could actually be a good moment for them in life because all the people that don't show up for their wedding, that shows you that you don't need them in your life.
Yeah.
And that you could cut them and that maybe you should cut them.
Yeah.
And don't ever do anything for them again.
And honestly, I don't know. Frankie, I think I would cut him too.
I would fuck up their wedding.
How?
Pay somebody to go run around with red paint cans and throw it all over the venue and people.
Oh. Denver has a big talk on this podcast, but
I actually saw something. Oh, it's on my phone and my phone's recording.
What is it?
Maybe I'll throw this up in the YouTube video, but there was a post that the parents didn't approve of their children getting married. I think they were Chinese or something. Mm-hmm. And they paid people with red paint cans to throw it on the bride in her white dress because the family was saying that she's a gold digger and they didn't want her marrying their son.
Oh, so the parents my God.
Of the parents of the groom paid for hitmen to go with red paint cans and throw the red paint all over the bride.
No, at that point,
it was a news story.
You need to move countries. You need to get the fuck away.
That's messed up.
No.
They still got married.
Oh.
They said, our love triumphs all.
Good. Yeah. That's the best revenge.
Yeah. I was reading that article. And I was like, this is wild. I'm going to screenshot this and I can overlay it on the YouTube video.
But wow. Yeah. No, yeah. I would move countries.
That's messed up.
I would get the fuck away from them. Yep. That's wild. All right.
Good on your story?
Yep.
Time for another one. Here we go. Am I the asshole for kicking my brother and his family out after he tried to give me a horrorvention?
A horrorvention?
Yeah.
A horrorvention.
Horrorvention.
Okay, got it.
Yep. Like a
I got it. Like slut shaming her.
Yeah, but what's it normally called? Intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Not an intervention, a horrorvention. I am having a hard time feeling remorseful, and I am unwilling to apologize for calling my brother out and asking him to vacate my property. I've given him many chances to stop this behavior, and my brother won't stop shaming me for having been a stripper before I got my prestigious job. These are his literal words. And I am a nurse anesthesiist. He has been making offhand remarks about me having been a stripper since he found out 6 years ago. He got on these long triads about how I am ungodly, unholy, and that the sin I committed can never be forgiven unless I repent and let Christ into my heart. I am not religious. I am certainly not a Christian, and I will never be one, but my brother refuses to accept this. Also, I only started stripping because of his drug and gambling addiction ruined mine and our parents' life.
Please.
He remortgaged their house, took out loans and several credit cards in our parents' name, and even sold our parents' identity to his former dealer. I didn't know how bad the situation was until I came home one day from university and found strangers living in our house. My father was too embarrassed to let me know they were living out of their car. They also never reported my brother to the police because my parents didn't want him back in prison. Last time he went in for 2 years, me and my parents were blackmailed to pay his prison debt. So when I found out my parents, baby sister, and baby brother were living out of their car, I decided to work as a stripper. I made good money, and with that money, I was able to buy a house for my family, pay off my parents' debt, my brother's debt, and put my younger siblings through college and university. During that time, I also paid for his rehab so he got his shit together. Now he is happily married, employed, sober, and with a child on the way. FYI, I paid for his wife's IVF treatments.
Oh my God.
This chick has paid for everything.
What the fuck?
I don't even know. We gotta keep going. Yeah. We gotta keep going. Last Sunday, our parents invited some people over for a big catered dinner. My brother and his wife thought this would be the perfect time to turn it into what he called a whore-a-vention and embarrass me in front of all of the guests. I completely lost it. I was so enraged that I spent most of the evening cursing him and my sister-in-law out. I reminded him that I never would have been a stripper if he hadn't tried to ruin us. On Monday, I drew up an eviction notice and sent it to him. I want to cut all ties with him and his family. I am truly done with him. Almost everyone is telling me that I am right for being angry, but that it's terrible to kick him and his wife out of the house when they are due to have their first child in 9 weeks. My parents are begging me to forgive him, and honestly, I feel I have been and am being reasonable for giving them 90 days to get out. Mm-hmm. I am done being called the whore of Babylon and the downfall of mankind. Apologies for the length of this story, but I feel like you all needed to know as much as possible because I feel like I'm losing my mind. Am I the asshole?
Kick them the fuck out.
Get the fuck out of the house.
Get out.
You pay for the roof of their head. You've paid for fucking everything. You fucking got this dude out of every mess up he ever made in his life.
Sorry.
And this dude still has the audacity to do this to you?
Him being a fucking Christian and all of that? You think doing drugs and stealing your parents' identity and all of that isn't against the fucking Bible?
Yeah, we should be having an intervention for you.
Exactly.
Fucking 5 years later from being out of prison or some shit and talk about how you're a piece of fucking shit for doing all that stuff. And ruining everything.
Please, like, come on. I don't even think anywhere in the Bible it says you're not allowed to be a stripper.
They didn't have strippers back in the Bible days, but yeah, sure.
No, but like...
You don't know what's in the Bible, babe.
I don't, but like...
You're going to piss off all of our religious following.
Yeah, we should be talking about your freaking...
We should talk about all your problems.
Your problems.
Your gambling problems.
All of that shit's against...
The Bible... I think the Bible says if you gamble, you die.
Go to hell.
Yeah.
Straight to hell.
I don't think gambling is approved.
No, it definitely isn't. I actually think it's like...
No, I think it is.
One of the biggest sins.
Yeah, like, I think it is a sin or something. I don't know. I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm not a religious person.
Yeah.
It's always the religion people that go far out. Like the super religious person.
Yeah.
Like, in the name of God and stuff. Like they always take it to the tenfold. Like they go crazy. They got a screw loose.
Good for her. She's... a strong woman, and she's supporting herself, supporting her family, and the people who love her. And she needs to cut off this relationship with her brother. And it's shitty that, her sister-in-law is pregnant.
Not her problem.
But not your problem at all. No. Sorry.
Fuck you. Maybe you should watch your fucking words if you're in a vulnerable place. Don't fucking don't throw rocks from your glass house.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, what did he think?
You should, oh my God, you're right. I repent. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry for being a stripper and saving your fucking ass, bro. Go back to fucking jail. Have your bookie fucking put a brick inside your head or something. Like, sorry, dude. I saved your fucking ass and my whole fucking family.
Yeah.
Oh, this makes me rattle. Top comment. I wouldn't even give him 90 days.
No.
I get some friends, go through some stuff out of your house. I'd get some friends to throw out all of his stuff out of your house, change the locks and call the cops that he's trying to break in. Mm-hmm. I would never talk to your brother ever again. And if he ever does the whore stuff comments, ask him how his drug deals are doing and how the accommodations were in jail. Yeah, he's born again, which is always a joke. He ruined your family, make them sleep in a car, and has the audacity to blame your past on everything. If you're so evil, why is he living with you? Forget his baby, forget his life, go no contact with him forever. Talk to your parents about their reaction and what he's doing to you. Not the asshole.
Yeah.
I get a lot of them.
I also hate parents who are just like, oh, keep the peace, keep the peace. No, it's for family.
Fuck
him
up.
No.
No.
No. I hate that shit.
No. I wouldn't have even given him 90 days.
Yeah, I know.
I would have been like, you got 15 minutes. No.
I'm calling
the
cops right now.
No. Get the fuck out. I'm going to throw your shit out the window so you can stand outside and wait for your shit to come out the window because I'm fucking done with you. No, that was so rude and so disrespectful. You don't even deserve 15 minutes. Get out. Go to a hotel.
Yeah.
I'm throw all your shit out. You can come box it up out of my fucking front yard. You don't deserve anything.
I would love to know what his wife also thought about this, if she was backing him up.
If she's backing him, she's a piece of shit too.
Yeah. I feel like...
Fuck her.
If you marry someone like that, you have to have the same kind of beliefs.
Yeah, she's probably super religious too. He found her after he found himself or was born again. So she's probably a religious nut as well.
Yeah.
So, no. I'm a piatch.
That one made me angry.
Yeah.
Damn.
That was a wild one.
All right.
Yeah, move along and reset. This screw loose episode. This is getting to me.
You swore a lot on the last one. You're like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck that.
No one made me angry. I hate people like that. Like, yeah. She saved you. She saved your whole freaking life and her whole family and everything just because she was stripping.
Yeah. This one comes from Am I the Asshole? Am I the asshole? I made a minor mess like a cat so my fiance would know what he's getting into before we get one.
What? A minor mess?
Yeah.
What?
24 female. So my fiance, 27 male, really wants a cat, and I understand they're nice pets. But I grew up with a cat, and he didn't, so I don't really think he understands how hard it can be to take care of one. He said that it'll be so easy because they just use the bathroom in the litter box and don't need much attention. But I know it's not that simple. For background, he knows he would have to take care of it most of the time because he's unemployed and looking for work. Meanwhile, I'm constantly busy because I'm trying to get through nursing school. I'm just afraid I'll end up having to look after the cat a lot more than he will. That's how it was with the fish we had. My fiance forgot to feed him multiple times. Friday night, before he went out over to play poker with some friends, I found this to be a perfect opportunity to have some of my friends over, as my fiance doesn't like my friends. Him and I had a little argument about the cat again before he left. He insisted it would be easy and he would clean up after it and everything, but I just can't believe him after the fish. And he tries to say that cleaning up things like vomit really isn't that bad when I know how gross it can be. So here's why I might be the asshole. My friends and I were drinking and watching movies, and I'll admit we drank a little much. I was complaining a bit about my fiance, and so the argument was on my mind. Eventually, I started to feel really sick, and I jokingly suggested that I throw up on the floor and make my fiance clean it so he can actually see how gross it is. My drunk friends actually encouraged me to do it, so I didn't go to the bathroom and ended up vomiting on the hardwood floor in our apartment. Nobody cleaned it up, anticipating that he would clean it up to understand the struggles of having a pet. I know it sounds a little ridiculous, but it was drunk logic. The next morning when my fiance came home, he was furious and screamed at me for doing such a nasty thing. I felt a little bad, but at the end of the day, that's the sort of thing that happens when you have a pet. You come home to vomit on the floor. And again, he comes from a place of not really understanding that's a part of having a pet like a cat. I really did want him to clean it up. He yelled at me, calling me crazy, and honestly, his refusal to clean it up I think shows he's not ready to take care of a pet. As of now, he's really not talking to me, and I know this sounds weird, but both of us are being so stubborn that none of us have yet cleaned up the vomit as of today. He's been out with his friends most of the weekend because he's so mad, but I really think he should step up and show he's ready for that sort of responsibility. So, Reddit, am I the asshole?
That's some drunken screw loose logic. What the fuck?
I mean, I could see why he doesn't
cleaned
like
it up yet. Bro, they should not be getting married.
No.
They are not a good couple.
No. Oh, this is toxic, honestly.
This is so toxic.
They both have a little bit of screw loose. Well, not really him, but.
I'd be like, okay.
I would have caved and cleaned it, and I would have left your ass.
Oh, I wouldn't have cleaned it. I would have just left.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah. I've been like, okay, well, this is not working. You're not the person I thought you were. So, packing my bag. It's your fucking vomit. I'm fucking out, bro. I'm out. I'm not cleaning up your vomit. Like, unless I'm like taking care of you while you're actively drunk and like you're in the bed and you're like, okay, then I'll take care of you.
But
you purposely put the,
you
did it on purpose because you think that's the same as a cat vomiting. A cat vomits.
A cat
like,
is like a little
fucking
little
circle
hairball
on the ground. Yeah, and the human vomit's probably fucking everywhere.
Ew, I can't even think of it. It's going to make me vomit.
Do you know what I'm thinking of right now?
No, When I
vomited like down the hallway at their old condo after I drank way too much at the Christmas party, I got so messed up at a work Christmas party when I worked at Lexus. I vomited in the condo hallway and then into the bathroom and like down the wall beside the toilet from the back. We couldn't get the vomit out of the wall. Like if you put your face near the toilet, it just stunk for so long.
That was so bad. It was on the carpet, like on the outside hallway of the condo. There was carpet
right in front of our door.
We tried to clean it, but the workers had to clean it. God, it was so bad.
But yeah, like you can't vomit yourself and say, "Yeah, just imagine that was a cat vomit." Like, dude, you're got a screw loose. Like you're unhinged.
I can't imagine that. That's good for the hardwood floors too. Like.
Who gives a shit about the hardwood floor? It's not good for the relationship. The relationship is
they're done.
It's done. How long ago was this posted?
7 days ago.
Love to know if they're still in a relationship.
Let me see if there's any comments from
that's,
RP.
That's so messed
No comments. Up.
Yeah, because she's a fucking idiot. She's in Shameville right now. She got probably shredded in the comments.
There is a small edit.
What's the top comment before you read the edit?
Okay. Top comment, you're the asshole on this one. A human puking on the floor is not the same as dealing with a cat mess. I thought the direction this post was going to go in was you buying a thing of litter and sprinkling little pieces of litter everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I had that vision in my mind too.
Me too. I'd probably think that was fine because that's one of the things that annoys me most about having a cat. There is litter dust everywhere. A human puking on the ground and expecting her boyfriend to clean it up is just nasty. Boyfriend sounds like a loser, but puking on the floor is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you can't take care of a fish, I'd be like, dude, you didn't take care of the fish. There's no way you're getting a cat. I don't want a cat. We're not. If the part both partners don't want a cat, you're not getting a cat.
Yeah.
And also, cats are not that hard to take care of.
I was going to say, she's making it seem like it's this really hard thing, but I don't think it is.
Nowadays, it's not. If you want to just spend a little bit of extra money, you can get an automatic kitty litter like we have. You only have to empty it out once every couple of weeks. You can get automatic feeders that you only have to fill up once every couple of weeks, months. You can get
the automatic vacuum.
Automatic vacuum, robot vacuum that goes around, cleans up twice a day. You can get the water fountain that filters the water out and you only have to fill it up like once a week. We barely do anything. We could leave our cats for like 2 weeks in our house and we would never, but we could. The vacuum would clean up the house, the kitty litter would clean itself, the food would dispense by itself, and I guess the water, it'd be as long as the water could last, because the water is the smallest thing, the most common thing that we have to fill up every couple days. But
it's not that much work.
Cats are self-sufficient now. If this dude wanted to get a dog and they lived in
a
condo, a
different
and you had to go walk the dog every day, that's why we're not getting a dog. I don't want to walk the dog every day.
Yeah, but this is like
this is unhinged. This is
unhinged. And I could see why he doesn't like her friends.
Yeah, they're not very encouraging.
No, also, they were encouraging her to do
the toxic.
That's
what I mean.
They're
toxic. Also, like I already saw that as a red flag of their relationship when he's like, I don't like her friends. Like, dude, if you don't like each other's friends.
Yeah, I did too.
Like there's an issue there.
Yeah.
That's wild. What's the edit?
Oh shit, I just closed the link. I forgot.
Oh, you forgot.
Edit. After reading the responses, I see what I did was probably over the top and I should clean it. I told my fiance I would clean up this time and apologize for making the mess and hope we can talk about the cat situation. He said that he would forgive me this time if I flashed my tits. They are D cups. I flashed him and we are moving on.
Weird. Not what I was expecting. Bro, their relationship doesn't sound healthy.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, that's a funny little end, but like,
it's funny, but
like, there's so many other like red flags in that story.
Like, he left for the whole weekend. Like,
yeah,
he was like, they were that upset like at each other that they didn't stay in the same house, and now you're just gonna flash your tits and that it's all gonna go bye bye. I'm gonna forget about this.
Bro, how long does she leave? Like, oh, I'm envisioning that for like 36, 48 hours that vomit's been there. She's like, I refuse to clean it up.
How stubborn do you have to be? We had an argument about
it, and I refuse to clean it up. Like, that's messed up. Bro, just tell them you don't want a cat, and you're not down for a cat.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
You don't have to do this childish shit.
It is so childish. It's, yeah, wild.
Unhinged.
Wild. Jeez. Oh, all right.
Crazy lady.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one is coming from Relationship Advice Now. I found my boyfriend masturbating to his coworkers. I recently discovered that my boyfriend has been secretly saving Snapchat and social media pictures from his coworkers and then using AI to turn them into nudes for his own pleasure.
What?
My boyfriend works 24-hour shifts and often spends the night with these women. They are also friends outside of work and have gotten together and drink together. I feel very hurt by this and uncomfortable because he probably spends more nights at work than at home. It's the same with myself. What is the best way to move forward with this?
Break up. Like, that's the only solution. What? This guy sounds like a fucking creep.
Yeah. He's got to screw loose. Who takes pictures with their coworkers and then uses AI to turn them into nudes?
I just got like,
that's the ickiest. Is the ickiest ick story that I have ever seen.
That's so creepy and disgusting. I feel violated for them.
Yeah. Why do you need AI to turn nudes of your coworkers when there's so much available stuff on the internet? When
literally
you have to do something so creepy.
So fucking creepy. Oh like my God. That. Why isn't this girl running for the hills?
Yeah, exactly. Top comment. First, I would like to say that while I do understand that your first feelings might be feeling hurt, I think you should explore what your second feeling should be. Like, maybe, holy shit, this man is a psycho.
Yeah.
He isn't getting nudes from his coworkers. He isn't cheating on you. He is stalking these women, turning their innocent pictures into pornography without their consent. What he is doing can and should get him fired, because this man is just a half a step away from physically assaulting these women who work overnight shifts with this absolute pervert. You need to report this to his job and protect these women.
Yes.
And you need to get the fuck out of this relationship, because this man is a fucking predator.
100%. I was just going to say, she needs to tell these women.
OP reports or replies. Might I ask you if you recommend, if you knew any of these women, should they be notified of this?
100%, girl. Come on. Dude, let's look out for each other, okay?
This is wild.
Oh my God. It's fucking sickening to think that there are people like this out there.
Literally.
Wow, that was wild. That's way worse than a screw loose. That's like, I don't know, you got fucking rocks for brains.
Yeah. No, that's messed up. This OP seems kind of, I don't know, like she's not understanding. Oh man. Oh.
Damn.
The ickiest X icky ick ick ick. Ugh. All right. I'm gonna move along into another story.
Oh, okay.
Since that was a short one and I kinda got a couple extras here. All right. Am I the asshole for telling a mom friend that her life makes me thankful I'm single? Ooh. I, female, 36, am single by choice. When I was 8 months pregnant, my husband left us for a woman he met online. He said he never wanted a kid, and I quote, "Even when you die, don't list me in your will, since I want nothing to do with the kid."
Oh my.
Luckily, I had a good job, so I'm doing okay. My daughter is now 8 and doing amazing. Her teacher always comments on how friendly and compassionate she is with everyone. Today, I was invited to a play date. The moms were hanging out while the kids were playing. They asked me if I'm seeing anyone. I said no, I'm single by choice. I feel like I'm still not ready for any dating, and I'm busy with my job and my daughter. Then Tracy, who's one of the moms, says that I am hurting my daughter. She needs a dad. She is going to grow up with massive daddy issues and end up being attracted to old losers.
Oh.
I said I'm not worried about that. My brother is very close to my daughter. She has a great male role model, her uncle. She rolled her eyes and said, "What about the siblings for your daughter? Do you not realize how bad being an only child is?" Again, I said, "Thank you for your concern, but she is fine." Then she said, "I need to meet her brother-in-law who recently got divorced and has 3 kids. I said, "No thanks. I'm really not interested." She said, "You know you're not getting any younger, so you better not be picky or you will be alone forever when your daughter runs away with some old married man." I had it at this point. I told her that at least I'm not stuck in a sad marriage raising a man baby. Every time you talk about your life, Tracy, I feel grateful that I'm single and I'm not raising a lazy man child. She got so upset and then left. Good. I left too. But now the other moms are saying I was too harsh and she just wanted to set me up on a blind date. So am I the asshole here?
No, you should have been harsher.
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 Harder. Harsher.
Oh my God. People with that type of mindset make me so angry.
Yeah.
It's 2024, people. But there are lots of strong women raising daughters, sons, all on their own. And vice versa, there's lots of strong, independent men that also do the same without wives. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that those kids are growing up to be like doomed.
Just let people do what they want to do. Stop thinking you have such a huge opinion in people's lives.
Yeah, like, because
you
maybe
no
you
right
should
to say anything.
You
check
need
yourself.
To look internally.
Yeah, check yourself, Tracy.
Yeah, look at yourself and your own relationship. Worry about yourself.
Yeah, Tracy, worry about yourself.
If she gave you any sort of inclination that she wanted to be set up with somebody, fine. Maybe step in and
she says, "Oh, I'm thinking of, you know, the dating, thinking of downloading an app or something like that." I'd be like, "Oh, well, my brother-in-law is recently divorced. Why don't you check him out?" She's like, "Yeah, nah, no thanks." "Oh, okay. Well, just thought I'd mention it."
Yeah, but to be like so Tracy, persistent like that and...
Well, it's because Tracy's got to screw loose.
Yeah.
People got to screw loose. People do screwy things.
This is true. Facts. Facts on facts.
Facts. All right.
No comments?
Yeah, they're not good.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right. Trigger warning talks about miscarriage. This one comes from Am I the Asshole? Am I the asshole for having my wedding the same day as my sister-in-law's due date?
Another wedding one.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
My fiance, 32 male, and I, 26 female, are getting married soon. We have had everything booked and ready to go for almost 2 years because we got engaged during COVID. Coincidentally, we found out his brother's wife slash sister-in-law, 36 female, was pregnant 6 months ago and the due date was the same weekend as our wedding. When they told us, we all had to be okay with them and my mother-in-law not coming because there was nothing we could do to move our date either. The thing is, sister-in-law miscarried 4 months ago, and it's been incredibly difficult for her. She has been trying for a while and finally got pregnant with this baby. While we were all devastated for her, the rest of the family has moved on and sister-in-law has been extremely spiteful about this. At first, she demanded my fiancé and I included her baby at my wedding. We were going to save seats for family members who have passed with their pictures during the ceremony, and sister-in-law wanted us to print out photos of her sonogram scans and do the same. I politely declined this idea because, in all honesty, I think it's a bit morbid and just sad. When I said no to this, she said she won't be coming to the wedding anymore because this should not be a day of celebration, rather mourning for her unborn child. She is now planning a memorial and telling my family and friends to attend that instead of my wedding on the same day in honor of her due date. It's become this huge issue in my family of people feeling guilt tripped into sister-in-law's memorial, and she told me if I wanted my own day, I have 364 other days to choose from. My fiance had some not very nice words for her afterwards, and now she's acting like we are happy about her child dying. Am I the asshole?
No, what the fuck? Oh my God. Like, if you're going to hold a funeral, like, hold it you know, recently after your miscarriage. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I can see where the screw loose is coming into this story. Like, I can understand, like, the grandparents and, like, holding the seat. I think that's, like, a nice thing.
I think that's very nice.
At the wedding. And at first I was like, okay, maybe, like, it's not such a terrible idea to do that. But then, like, if she thinks it's morbid, it's her wedding. She thinks
it's her wedding. Like, yeah, she doesn't have to do that.
Kind of is morbid a little bit. Like, doesn't have to. Like,
I think it would be fine if she, like, if she agreed okay to it. Like, I don't think it's...
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge thing.
A weird thing to do?
I think she could have, but I don't think she's the asshole for not.
Yeah, she has every right not to.
Absolutely. It's your wedding. You have every right for that. But this chick's going off and trying to convince people to go to her thing. That's just psycho behavior.
Yeah. And it could be, you know, there's a lot of hormones and stuff that go in
trauma,
especially with miscarriages. But you can't force someone to do that. That's just,
you can ask. I mean, you can't force anything to happen.
Yeah, you can't.
It's sad though.
It is sad, but I don't think, I think she has a little bit of a screw loose.
I think she does, yeah. No, yeah, for sure. If you're trying to convince people not to go to a wedding, to come to a kind of fake funeral, because you don't usually have funerals for a miscarriage.
I don't know. Yeah.
If you're trying to convince somebody to go to that, a memorial over a wedding, you got to screw loose.
Yeah.
Regardless of the emotions and stuff.
Yeah. Top comment. Overall votes, not the asshole. Top comment. Definitely not the asshole. Wedding takes forever to plan and get everything booked is hard. Changing reservations can cost a lot as well. It's unfair to expect you to change. As much as this is a terrible time for your sister-in-law, this is the day for you and your fiance, not a memorial service for her child.
Exactly.
Setting up a competing event on the same day because you don't want to turn it into one is wild. And then they're quoting OP. Now she's acting like we are happy about her child dying. And that is just a ridiculous response. Someone in her family needs to talk to her because she's misdirecting her rage and frustration at you.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's wild. Like, bro, that's not what we're doing. That's not what's happening.
Yeah, like, I think she definitely needs therapy.
Yeah, she's going through a hard time.
Yeah.
She's going through a very hard time. Yeah. Very, very challenging. So...
I feel for her.
It's sad, but at the end of the day, like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't. That's just not appropriate. Yeah. That's not right. All right. Let's move on.
Let's do it.
This one comes from the subreddit, Am I Wrong? It was posted 6 days ago. Am I wrong for not immediately forgiving my wife for sexting other men? My wife, 32, female, and I, 36, male, have been married for 8 months. We dated for 2.5 years prior to getting married. Recently, we were on a vacation internationally, and occasionally, she would just let me use her phone to check on things because I do not have an international plan on my phone. One day, during the trip, I asked her if I could use her phone while she was taking a shower. When I had her phone in my hand, another man sent her an explicit message. I was surprised by the message coming through, and she was in the shower, so I clicked on it and saw messages going back and forth for quite a while. As I briefly read the conversation, I saw the messages that she was excitingly responding to the man's explicit offers, describing the things that he wanted to do to her, and she was responding with the explicit things she wanted to do to him. When she got out of the shower, I asked her who this person was, and she said that it was an old boyfriend that messages her every once in a while, and they have known each other for 12 years. She said he lives in a different part of the world, and they have never done anything in person, but that they have just these explicit conversations every once in a while. I asked her why she has these conversations with him, and she said that she likes the attention he gives her and likes it when men talk to her like this. Some of the language would not be words that would come to my mind. Another reason I was shocked about this interaction was because some of the messages were right before times that we were intimate, which felt very violating to me. I asked her why she did this, and she said that she felt like I wasn't giving her enough attention that she needs, which was very surprising to me because earlier this week, she asked me to give her more attention. And when I did, like touching her back or kissing her while we were out and about on our vacation, she asked me to stop doing that. I don't know what to do now. How do I forgive her? Should I even forgive her?
Oof. I can see where the screw loose is coming in here because I think she definitely thinks that this was okay.
She thinks this is okay.
Yeah. She's like, it sounds like she's casually saying, oh yeah, you know, we do this a couple times a year. Like,
yeah, you're not giving me enough attention, baby.
Yeah. So I need to get it somewhere else. That's wild.
Yo, she's wild.
That's fucking wild. Like cheating is wild. You already have a screw loose if you're cheating, but like to think that there's nothing wrong.
To think that there's nothing wrong with this.
That's where it's given screwy.
Bro, you'd be done.
Oh.
We'd be done.
I know.
You're out.
I know.
I'm keeping both the cats. Get the frig out of here.
Yeah, he needs to divorce her, honestly.
Like, yeah, this that's is not cheating. Acceptable.
Cheating doesn't only include physical intimacy.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheating is emotional cheating. Sexting, like that is cheating.
That's
like,
cheating. In a digital age, that's cheating.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's yeah, he wants advice. Divorce her ass.
Divorce. Divorce, divorce, if, divorce.
If she really feels that way, like that he wasn't giving her enough attention or whatever, like communicate that with him.
Yeah.
If you like a different type of sex, like if you want him to talk a certain way to you during sex, if that's what turns you on, tell him.
Communication.
Communicate. Like if that's what you want, like.
That's what we do. We communicate.
We're not going to talk about ours.
No, I thought I was leaving it there.
All I could think about is my mom listening to this.
Wait, are you going to cut that?
No.
Are you cutting this?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I don't go into too much details because we have family that listen. We're not going there. This podcast is rated E for everyone.
For everyone. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either.
Wild.
Oh, man. Yeah, that chick had a screw loose. Never acceptable. Never okay.
Yeah.
Oh. I hate people like that.
Yeah. Okay, I have another X story.
X's. What? It's like all the crazy screw looses become X's at some point. They get dropped.
Not this one.
Interesting.
This one comes from Emma the Asshole.
Okay.
Emma the Asshole for not letting husband's ex into a mom's class group chat. Husband and I met in college. Before that, he dated Millie from ages 14 to 17. When I first met his family, they all seemed to be in awe of me, and it was quite awkward, so he explained that his family and most people in his life prior to college believed him and Millie would be together forever. I was uncomfortable, but he assured me that he loves me and only me. We had a few fights over things his friends said, but ultimately it was clear that we were being dumb. I didn't have any problems related to Millie for several years. Everyone seemed to have moved on. Husband and I now have 3 kids. My middle son, 6, is in the same grade as Millie's son. They are in different classes, and I only found out about this after my mother-in-law passively mentioned it. The moms in my son's class created a group chat. A couple days ago, Millie contacted me and asked if I could add her into the group chat and said that she and her son are having trouble connecting with other moms/kids and it would be a huge help. I was a bit confused as to why she was asking me for permission and how she got my number, but I quickly realized that the other moms probably told her and out of consideration for me wanting her to ask me. I'm not sure. Most of these women grew up with Millie, so they know everything. I told her that I can't really stop anyone if they wanted to add her, but I'd rather she not join. Besides, it's a class group chat and her son's not in it. She got upset and asked if I was only saying no because of her history with my husband. I said, well, yeah. Then she said I'm being sensitive and petty. I told her that I'm uncomfortable. She said not everything is about me and I'm being selfish. I made a sarcastic comment about protecting my peace before firmly telling her she won't change my mind and that neither she or her son are my responsibility. Millie got even angrier and said that I'm the only person still hung up over the relationship and that I need to grow up and stop being so insecure. She also accused me of being an elitist. She's still at it and will tell anyone that'll listen about how I'm being selfish and how I'm still hung up over the past. My husband thinks we're all being ridiculous. He was joking when he said that, but I don't know. One of the moms in the group chat privately asked me about the whole thing, and she said, so I really don't know. But they said that they weren't going to add her unless I gave permission. Am I the asshole?
I think so. Like, what? Dated so long ago.
You have three kids with this guy.
Yeah, she also has kids with somebody else.
She has kids with someone else. They dated between 14 and 17. Their oldest son is 6 years old now. This seems like it was ages ago.
Decades.
A
decade or more. Decade or two. Like, if you don't like her and you don't want to be around her, like, convince your husband to move into a different town. So the kids aren't going to the same school. If it bothers you that much, like,
that's a red flag, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I'm a jealous person.
Yeah, so I feel like you'd still be jealous if I dated somebody in grade. Like, I don't think you'd want to be friends with my ex and have her in a group chat of anything.
Well, I wouldn't want to be friends with her, I don't think.
But I don't think going in the group chat is being friends.
No, but honestly, I don't know. If it were me in this situation, I do feel sympathy for her. Like, she's asking politely, like, I don't have any friends, and this would be...
Right?
I think I would actually...
But she doesn't want to be friends with her. And I think that's fair to not want to be friends with your husband's ex or anything. I think it's a little crazy, but you get a little crazy sometimes. So I don't want to be too judgmental here.
I feel like I would be okay with it. Like, I was thinking of, like, myself in these shoes, and I think that I would totally be fine with it.
So what if we like decided to move to a small town and like we went to like Bolton?
Okay.
And then like our kids, we have kids, mm-hmm. and they're six and they're in like grade two or something, yeah. like that. And then like we find out that my ex also has kids in the same school, and then she wants to join the group chat and stuff.
Yeah. I don't think I would have a problem with it.
Oh, okay.
And that's coming like from me.
Jealous girl over there. Jealous girly.
A little bit of a jealous girly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I think she's in the wrong. I can see where she's coming from and stuff like that. But like, it's a school group chat for the kids to play together and stuff. If you don't want to be a part of that, you knew she was there. I guess she didn't know. Like, her mother-in-law let her know. Like, didn't know that the ex had a kid that was in the school and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like ex. It's a high school.
It's a high school ex.
Yeah, it's a high school ex. Those are like irrelevant.
Yeah. And it was ages ago. Okay.
Yeah, I think she kind of got a screw loose here.
Yeah.
Like a half screw. Like a Robertson screw or something.
Top comment, you're the asshole. To be clear, you're not going to add another married woman with a son who needs help, who reached out to you to be respectful to a group chat because she dated your husband in high school. Mm. What are you, still in high school? This isn't elitism. This is just pettiness at its finest.
It is. It is, but at the same time, like, she has the right to want to be friends with who she wants to be friends with. She doesn't owe this person anything.
I don't think she needs to be friends with her, but
I don't think you should block her from the group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be friends.
Should be allowed in the group chat.
I don't know. I feel like it is a bit of an overreaction.
I do. I agree. But she is entitled to her own piece. But your piece is not... Group chats are not for you. Group chats are for everyone.
Yeah.
Why would the... You know what? She's probably got to be a scary bee because all these other moms are scared of her.
Yeah.
And they're like, listen, we don't want to add you in the group chat until she says it's okay because we know she's psycho. So...
That's true.
They're right?
Probably all scared.
They're probably all scared of her. So she's probably got a screw loose and psycho B to all these other moms because they're like, yeah, watch out.
Good point.
Don't let Veronica in the group chat until Tracy's okay with it because Tracy will kill us. She'll poison the cookies at the bake sale, guys. You have no idea. This chick is wild. This woman's crazy.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I feel like group chats, I've had a few group chat stories and stuff like that. Like, you have no rights to the group chat. Anybody you hate can be put in the group chat. If you don't like that, you can leave the group chat. Group chats are open for anybody, for all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, she was just being respectful and, you know, saying,
hey. Why didn't she know anybody? Is this not their hometown? Sounds like this is their hometown.
I don't know. I don't really know.
But like, okay, if it isn't their hometown, what is she randomly doing there now? The story didn't say that she was married, just says she had a kid. She chased him down?
You're asking the right questions.
Right?
I don't have the answers,
you know,
though.
Maybe she's like,
maybe
listen,
she
guys,
have a screw loose.
We moved 3 hours north to this little tiny Timbuktu because this mother-in-law wanted to retire there. And then all of a sudden, she's here after she's recently divorced and her kids want to go to the same school. I don't want her in my group chat because I know she's coming for my husband.
Mm, who has screw loose in this situation?
Right? Yeah, you know, we don't know.
Could be the ex.
Mm-hmm. I think we're getting a big hypothetical, but you never know. Don't assume. Anything is possible. Expect the unexpected.
Okay, Big Brother.
What's the Survivor one?
Outwit. Outplay.
No,
outlast.
There's another saying that they have. I feel like they are expect the unexpected.
No, too. They're not.
What was the challenge one being said? Nothing is ever as it seems.
They say that?
I'm Batman.
Okay.
I love saying I'm Batman randomly. All right, you good?
Yep.
My turn. This one's from Am I the Asshole? Am I the asshole for telling some missionaries they were entitled? For background, up until a year ago, I, 24 female, was LDS, which is Mormon. Mm-hmm. Most of my family are still Mormon, and my brother is the bishop at his ward. A couple of days ago, three missionaries knocked on my door and asked if I was interested in hearing about Jesus or if I wanted my driveway shoveled. I let them know that as soon as I could, I was not interested in either one. But if they wanted to wait a couple minutes, I could bring them out some hot chocolate since they had mentioned they were going to walk along the neighborhood and it was cold out. They said that would be great and said that not everyone has been so nice to them. I said that I had served on a mission before and I understand how hard it could be. One of the elders then said, "Oh, if you used to be a member, then you know how inappropriately you are dressed.
Oh.
You need to put on some more clothes because you're making me uncomfortable." WTF. I told them that he was grossly entitled to feel as if he could tell me, a complete stranger, what I had to do in my own house. I told them the cocoa offer was off the table and they need to get the fuck off my porch. Well, earlier today, my brother called and asked if I had cursed out some missionaries. I said, yeah, there were some rude missionaries at my door, and I did in fact swear at them. I guess they were his ward missionaries, and they had passed by my house and pointed it out to an old family friend while they were giving him a ride, and that my friend told them who I was. Now my brother's ward has been gossiping about me and how my brother should be ashamed of me. He's saying I should apologize and have told my parents about it too. My mom has also called and said I'm letting my unnatural hatred of the church turn me into someone I'm not and that I've never cursed at strangers before. To be fair, she's actually right that I've never cursed at strangers before. I've also never had a 19-year-old stranger tell me what to do in my own house. Mm-hmm. But after calls from my parents, sister, and brothers, I'm starting to feel like swearing at them wasn't fair. Maybe I was letting my dislike for the religion cloud my judgment here. Am I the asshole?
No, 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 no. Don't ever let a man fucking talk to you like that.
Don't let anybody.
No.
Religious people or anything, like, they always got to screw loose when they think it's in the Lord's name. For context, she was wearing sweatpants and a long sleeve crop top.
Please. Oh my God. It doesn't even matter if she was fucking naked. You're coming to my door, exactly. Knocking on my door, wanting to speak to me. I'm in my house. You have no right to even discuss or even think about what I'm wearing.
Exactly.
Don't look at me. Don't fucking look at me. You asked to be here.
Exactly. You came to my door.
You fucking came to my...
Fuck you.
Oh, these are getting me riled up.
Riled up. There's too many people with screws loose. I don't know how to handle this. Oh, I gotta shake it off.
Wow. No, that would... No, she should have been meaner, honestly. Bro, and sorry, sucks for the brother, but like...
I would have activated the trap door, sent them down with the alligators.
What? What? What are you talking?
I would have pressed the button. Pull the lever! And I would have pulled the lever. They would have fell through the porch and went into the alligator pit.
What are you talking about?
If I live near the, like, where missionaries, people are trying to come along and sell me on Jesus, set something up. I don't know.
Okay, moving along.
Moving along.
This one is good.
Is it good?
I'm excited for this one.
Let's get it. Okay. Let's get into it.
Trigger warning for talks of domestic violence and abuse. This one is from Today I Fucked Up. Today I fucked up by visiting my batshit crazy family in Oklahoma. Some backstory, my wife was scheduled for a business trip, so I decided that during her time away, I would go visit my family. Since they live in the United States, heart of Methodism, the great state of Okla, run and don't look back, Homa, I knew it would be a chaotic visit, but had no idea what exactly was in store for me at this time. After letting my mom know what dates I was coming for the visit, I started getting some weirder than normal texts. Now, usually texts for my family go something like this. I read online that storing hydrogen peroxide is good for your health. Or, we're taking out a loan to buy a chateau because the jacuzzi we just bought doesn't fit in this house. Mind you, both my parents are broke, refuse to apply for jobs, and are largely living off my siblings' income. But this time, I got a flurry of text messages accusing my wife of secretly abusing me. The reason these messages were so odd is that my family has known my wife for over 10 years, and she is literally the sweetest person ever. And ironically enough, my parents are the ones that had a past history of abusing all of their kids, verbally, emotionally, physically, and financially. And my angel of a wife has consistently loved and supported me through the PTSD aftermath of growing up with that kind of abuse. So after reassuring my mom that my wife is still the same sweet, non-abusive person she always has been, she started going on about some secret knowledge that she had and wouldn't tell me what it was. Finally, I just chalked it up to her being bored and trying to start some shit for entertainment purposes. So, fast forward to the actual familial visit. Woke up exhausted and decided to treat myself to some coffee at a local coffee shop. The one I was going to go was about 5-mile drive from where my parents live. But I'd been so stressed out from the usual family arguments and gaslighting that highway hypnosis kicked in and I ended up half an hour away. Realizing I'd have to drive half an hour back, I went ahead and called my mom to let her know so she wouldn't worry. Shortly thereafter, my sister calls me. She goes on about how highway hypnosis proves I'm unhinged and delusional. She says I must have something wrong with my brain and needs immediate medical attention at an ER. But not the closest ER to me, the closest ER to her. She lives 2 hours away from my parents. She says I need to see Dr. X and have him sign paperwork to get me checked into a mental ward for my own safety. When I tell her she's overreacting and that I'm perfectly okay, it was just me zoning out and going on autopilot for the drive, she tells me that she and my mom have been noticing a worsening pattern in my cognitive behavior for a while. I ask her what behavior and she won't give me a clear answer. Anyway, I get back to my parents' house and go into their guest house to finish my coffee and send a few emails before fully starting the day. Except I hear a noise in my mom's office next to the room I'm staying in. So naturally, I decide to check it out. Spoiler, it was my mom's cat knocking down a folder full of papers from her desk. Going to pick the papers up, something catches my eye. My name. On a paper after paper, there was my name. On an involuntary civil commitment, needing a physician's approval signature for indefinite commitment. Power of attorney going to my mom. Upon my involuntary commitment, proxy divorce papers to be filed on my behalf against my wife, and written statements by my family that my wife had abused me and were therefore requesting annual alimony to be paid to my soon-to-be power of attorney for the remainder of my involuntary commitment. My blood ran cold. Of all the ways to extort my wife for money, they were trying to get me locked up for life in a psychiatric ward to do it. I called my wife, packed my bags, and left without saying goodbye.
Holy fuck. What? That's the craziest family story that I've ever heard. Oh, we don't like you, so we're going to get you locked up in a psych ward, power of attorney, and get your...
It's not even that they don't like her. They just want the money.
Like him. They don't even like him enough. They're like, yeah, we'll just commit you to the fucking psych ward so we can get money out of your wealthy wife because we don't give a fuck about you, bro. Holy shit.
This is worse than a screw loose.
This could be a fucking movie.
I know. This reminds me. I was going to say, this reminds me of that movie Get Out. I don't know why, yeah. But like.
Holy yeah. Fuck.
It was just. That's I kept so picturing.
Scary, man. Like, imagine he actually went, like, what the sister said because yeah. he trusted her.
Yeah.
All those fucking papers ready. Holy fuck. I would have burnt the house down my way out or something. Oh my God. Dude. Bro, that's wild. What if they, like, tracked you down and, like, got you to do that? I would. You gotta tell somebody about that. Yeah. You gotta tell a lawyer.
You gotta tell somebody.
Yeah. Something. That's wild.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know what'd be like good revenge for that?
What?
Just do that to them.
Ooh,
put
yeah.
put them in a fucking psych ward for like 6 months. Yeah. Set them up. Yeah. Just set them up any way you can. I would spend the next 2 years trying to like set them up to make them people think that they're insane.
Yeah.
Ways that they can call
well, they are.
Insanity. They are insane.
Honestly, telling anyone the story might be enough.
I get them put in a psych ward.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, wild.
That's a close call.
There are a couple edits. Thank you for all the advice and positivity. I wanted to add these edits. The reason I felt it was okay to leave the cat in is that my parents treat her like a cat goddess. I think it's common with a lot of narcs that they're able to love pets / plants unconditionally, but not their own kiddos. Two. This isn't the first time they've tried getting me committed, sadly. In high school, a decade ago, we were having a big fight and my parents tried forcing me into the car to take me to an ER to be committed. Also, I had to use the bathroom in the middle of the fight. They followed me to the bathroom and continued fighting me and ended up physically dragging me off the toilet. I realized most families aren't like this and I should have gone no contact a long time ago. Narcissistic abuse screws with your head pretty badly, but I still deal with bad bouts of guilt that make me think I'm in the wrong and need to make amends. Number three, I'm applying for a new SSN and changing my name. My SSN has also never worked properly, so it might not even be a real one. Thank you for all the advice on things I haven't even considered could happen. I appreciate it, and I'm sorry to everyone who has gone through the same thing. You don't deserve that shit, and I hope you're able to live a happy and stress-free life.
Wow, I'm happy you posted this and got some advice, but like, yeah, man, I would change my name, change my social security number. I would become a ghost to my family. I would have gone non-contact a long time ago, and I hope he does that. Like, bro, this family seems unhinged.
Yeah, no contact thing. I think, yeah, he made a good point. Like, when you have narcissistic parents, they make you believe that everything is your fault.
That's true. That's
so smart. I could see your name, though. How that's hard.
Don't let them track you down.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Top comment. Insane. Good cat. Saved your life.
Yeah. Cat for
we
the win.
We love cats.
Cat for the win. I would have stole their cat too. I was just taking it out of spite.
Yeah, but then it's
not fair to the cat.
It's not fair to the cat. Yeah. Yeah,
that's true. That was insane.
Yeah. Wild.
You know where I thought this was going?
Where?
I have a tumor.
Our last episode, there was a story about somebody who was going crazy, and then she ended up having a tumor.
Turns out I don't need a psychiatrist. I need a surgeon.
Oh, but that was a good story.
Yeah, that was a great story. Good find. Yeah, good find on that one.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. This one is coming from Entitled People. Entitled friend doesn't understand the concept of a white elephant exchange. This all happened about 10 years ago, but after spending all morning reading stories on this sub, I felt like I had to share my own experiences. Mm-hmm. For years, I, male, early 30s at the time, was close to a friend named Brittany, who is a female the same age as me. Brittany and I had gone to college together and gone on some trips together, and were pretty much inseparable. She had always had a bit of an entitled streak to her, but it was never anything drastic. She usually kept it restrained to things like being the only one to pick which restaurants our group of friends went to, or having her seat at each friend's home. Annoying, yes, but pretty mild overall. Then Christmas came. A mutual friend of ours decided to hold a Christmas get-together for our large extended friend group, which included both me and Brittany. This friend, we'll call her Mary, had recently gotten married and bought a new home with her husband, Matt. Mary's wedding had been a small, private, family-only affair. To celebrate with friends, as well as celebrate their new home and the holiday, Mary invited about 30 people from our extended friend group to a big Christmas party. And it was absolutely wonderful. Mary had always been one hell of a cook, and she insisted on providing everything for the guests. She did all the cooking, brought tons of drinks, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, and made sure none of her guests were without a drink or a plate of amazing food all night. Mary had only one request for each of her guests. Each person bring a gift to contribute to a white elephant gift exchange. Happily, especially given how much Mary and Matt shelled out to feed all of us, we all brought a gift. For those who are not familiar, the white elephant exchange, which can also be called the Yankee swap or a dirty Santa in some places, involve everyone bringing a wrapped gift. Then one by one, each person chooses from the pile. The first person to open his or her chosen gift. Then the second person can either open a new gift or steal from the person's first gift. Third can steal seconds or first gift or pick a new one. On and on until everyone has had their chance. Then the first person will get the last chance to steal. One rule put in place in a lot of these exchanges is that the gift can only be stolen twice. So if you are the third person to get your hands on a gift, it is yours for good and no one can take it from you. Well, this was the downfall of Mary's gift exchange, or at least it was when it came to Brittany. The gift exchange started and people were having fun stealing blankets, candles, gift cards, and the likes from all of their friends. No one was upset if their gift got stolen. Hell, it was all fun and games and we're all friends, right? Well, Matt, which is Mary's new husband and the party co-host, was really good at making his own beer. As his gift in the exchange, he wrapped up a full case of amazing dark stout that he made. Bob opened and was pretty excited. We all know how amazing the beer was and we had been drinking it all night long. Then Tim stole the beer from Bob. We laughed. Bob was disappointed, but then he gave it over to Tim in the spirit of the game. Then it was my turn. I stole the beer from Tim. Like Bob, Tim was disappointed, but willingly gave me the beer and laughed about the disappointment. Notice that I was now the third owner of the case of beer, which meant that per the rules of Mary's game, I was safe from having the beer stolen from me. Brittany was next to go. She tried to steal the beer, but was reminded by several people that the beer had been stolen twice, so now, officially, it was mine. Instead of just picking a new gift or stealing someone else's, Brittany then threw a huge fit. All the other gifts suck. This is not fair. The beer was the only thing I want. I wouldn't have played if I knew this stupid rule. On and on she went. She was making everyone uncomfortable, especially Mary. Matt intervened and politely asked Brittany to just play along and reminded her that there were still some bottles of stout in the kitchen that if she wanted, she could have it. But no, Brittany couldn't handle not having the full case to take home with her. She pouted and refused to pick any other gift or even continue playing the game. So we all skipped her. The game continued on and everyone other than Brittany had a gift. With only one gift left, Brittany was forced to take that or nothing. She chose nothing. And on top, continued to bitch and moan about how unfair the rules were. The person who brought the unclaimed gift took it back and gave it to Mary and Matt as a housewarming gift. Seeing that, Brittany then stormed out and left. I thought that would have been the end of it, but I was wrong. Over the next few days, I was barraged with text messages from Brittany demanding that I give her the case of Matt's beer. She didn't ask if I would share it, which I probably would have done if she had asked. She demanded that I give it to her outright, saying, "You knew the rules are bullshit and it should have been mine anyway." When I told her no, she started with the guilt trips. "You make more money than me, so you can buy expensive beer and I can't. We've been friends for so long, it's only right. You're just being selfish." The final message from her was, "I hope you choke on it, asshole."
Oh!
I then blocked her number, removed her from my Facebook friends list, and haven't spoken to her since. Nor, for that matter, Mary and Matt, nor anyone else at the party. She lost a lot of friends all over a case of beer. It was a damn good case of beer, though. I thought Brittany every time I drank a bottle of it.
Was it worth it, Mary?
Was it worth it, Mary?
What the heck?
She had to screw loose that night.
Oh, man. She's a narcissist. She seems like she has a screw loose every night.
Right? Yeah.
Jeez.
Man. I don't even know what to say.
No, for real. Because
over beer? Like, it's a fun gift exchange. It's meant to be a fun out activity that everybody can get a chuckle out of and nobody takes too serious.
Don't be that person that nobody wants to play games with.
Yeah, be a good loser. Don't be a sore loser. Just laugh it off.
It's not even like you're losing. Like, okay, you didn't get your top choice. Boo exactly. Freaking who? Boo-hoo. You'll get another gift.
That's the point of the gift exchange. We do the gift exchange for my family, and like you don't always get what you want, so but everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
You get something funny and something useful, and it's all in good spirit.
It's mainly about playing the game. Yeah, it's just all in fun.
It's all in fun. It's all in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. I love Christmas. I can't wait for Christmas.
Oh, it's almost Christmas, babe.
Yeah.
How many days till Christmas?
I don't know, 10 months? Can we?
Yay, Christmas.
But yeah, I'm glad everyone cut ties with her.
Caught her.
What a weird thing to say. I hope you choke on it.
Literally.
What does she think? People who react this way, like, what do you think the other person's going to do?
Exactly.
Like, you don't think before you talk or text?
Literally.
Man. All right,
moving along.
This one comes from AITAH. Am I the asshole for using the men's bathroom while girls were using them? I'm male. I went to a big concert last week. It was mostly attended by women, but I agreed to go at my girlfriend's insistence. I had to go for a leak halfway through the concert. There was a line of women entering the men's toilets as the women's toilets were crowded. I waited in line and eventually got in. I was the only male in the toilets. I headed towards the urinals, zipped down my fly, and took a leak. As I got out and met my girlfriend, a random lady came up to me and went off on how I'm a pervert and a sex pest for exposing myself to women. She said that I should have waited for a cubicle to open and that it's a shame what I did wasn't technically illegal. I did not pull my pants down and underwear while taking a leak. I just opened my fly, which was pointed away from everyone's view. There was no one at my periphery. My girlfriend asked me if I was bursting at the time. I told her that I could have waited a minute or so for a cubicle to be free. She then said that while she'd never break up with me over such a mundane thing, that this has caused her to change the way she looks at me in terms of how considerate and thoughtful I am, and that I should have waited for a cubicle to free up. So am I the asshole?
No, what? Listen, ladies, if you want to go and use the men's washroom, go right ahead. There is nothing wrong if you want to put yourself in there and you want to go use one of those toilets. Hey, whatever, you do you. But don't think that you have the right that he can't go use the freaking urinal now. You're in the wrong place, bro. You went in the wrong stall. He's using his men's washroom.
Yeah.
What?
I'm picturing this to be at like a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
Where... there's not many men, but there are still men.
There's still men. There's still a men's bathroom.
You have to be prepared for, if you're going into the men's bathroom, you have to be prepared
for other men.
For other men to be in there.
Yeah, if you're going to go use the man's washroom, you need to be okay that, yeah, dude's going to whip it out and use the urinal.
And it's not like he's not the bad guy. Look at my thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, what? This is very entitled and a little screwy.
I'd break up with her too.
Yeah, for the girlfriend to be like, oh, I'm like,
this is... I would never break up with you over that, but I'm going to look at you differently. Like,
yeah.
That's... I look at you differently now that you said that. Yeah, and I'm reconsidering our relationship.
Yeah, exactly. I would too. Top comment. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, especially since like you went into the men's washroom.
Yeah.
You chose to go in there.
Yeah.
He had no choice. He didn't come into the women's washroom.
Yeah.
It could be different. If there was like, yeah, the line for the men's washroom was 30 people deep and there's no one for the women's washroom. So I just snuck into the women's washroom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you could get shamed for doing that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're smart and you go and you use the toilet and you know, yeah, you relieved yourself. But yeah, you'd be in the rights if someone shamed you then. But you don't get to shame him for using the urinal when you were in the wrong washroom.
I know. Actually, even still, I don't think. Like you're saying for him to like bypass the line of women in the men's washroom?
No, I'm saying like say the men's had a long line and he went and used the women's washroom.
Okay, yeah.
Because nobody was going to the women's washroom.
Yeah, that's different.
And then someone walked in. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong. You could get a talking to, like, you know, like whatever. But like, you know, dude, you went in your washroom.
Yeah. Yeah. He did nothing wrong here. Poor guy.
I would have.
He was dragged to go to this concert. That's exactly. Mainly women. He didn't want to go.
Those are the times where I think like if somebody gave me shit like that, like I would just obnoxiously just start yelling back at them. Like just like yell so loud, like they just shrink in place and they're like, ugh, I shouldn't have even said anything. Like you're making a huge scene, just everybody's now staring at you and you're like, what do you mean I'm not allowed to use the men's washroom? And this chick would just be like, I'm sorry, I said something. I don't know. I feel like I would just like go way overboard to make
you
her
literally
feel bad.
Would never do that. I don't know what you're
talking. I think I would.
You
I think
talk
I could
such
do that.
A big
especially
game
if
on
I wasn't
podcast.
Especially if I wasn't with you, I could do that. Like, if I didn't do that, it'd be for your sake, not mine.
Oh my God. You're making yourself seem like such an asshole in real life. Denver is literally the sweetest.
I would defend myself if I'm in the right. He was in the right. He did nothing wrong, man. Poor guy.
I agree. But you have all these like revenge plans. Oh, I'm going to throw them to the alligators. Like, what are you talking
Pull
about?
Pull the lever.
Build a moat around my house.
I would love a moat.
Oh, man.
I would zip line over the moat.
Okay. Top comment. Not the asshole. Women have always used the men's washrooms at music festivals. The ones I went to anyway. The women would use the cubicles and the men would use the urinals. It was never an issue, and that random woman should either shut the fuck up or go into the women's.
Especially nowadays too. Like, we went somewhere and it was just like an all genders bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, there's almost not even men's and women bathroom anymore. It's just like, here's a washroom.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. So it's like, if you don't, you put yourself in that situation.
You were in a cubicle, so what did you see?
Yeah, I know. Why are you looking?
Yeah, why are you staring, you creep?
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Especially her name was Tracy.
I thought you were going to say Teresa. I was like, whoa.
No, it's Tracy from the...
Tracy.
A lot of screw loose Tracys.
Tracy. Yep.
All right. Talk comment?
I just read it.
Right. My bad.
You good? You got a screw loose?
I do. All right. Moving along. This is my last story. Mm-hmm. I tried to save a really good one for last. Although it doesn't have that many upvotes, but I thought this was good. Am I the asshole for calling my boyfriend disgusting for his knowledge about his sister's periods? Me, 26 female, and my boyfriend, 28 male, have been together for a year. My boyfriend has been taking care of his siblings, 16 female, 12 female, and 11 male, since his oldest sister was born. When he was 18, he moved out of his parents' house and took them with him. He currently has custody over all of his siblings. He is a really hard worker, and I haven't seen him or his siblings struggle at all. They all have what they need, as far as I know, and they have never gone to bed hungry because of him. One of the reasons I fell in love with him is because of his caring nature, especially for his siblings. Not going to explain the whole dynamics as I know it, but when I say taking care of, I mean he took care of them by buying them food, helping them with homework, and putting a roof over their head. He did it all as basically mom and dad for them and still finished his school in the process. His younger brother even calls him dad. His parents are the definition of deadbeats. Current situation with them is that they don't even know if their parents are alive or where they are. They have no other family. These four are all together as their whole family. I slept over at his house last night, and this morning around 6 a.m., his sister, who is 12 female, came into the kitchen crying hysterically. She woke up with blood in her pants and freaked out. She started with her period. My boyfriend got her to calm down and explained that she is all right and everything will be okay. He then gave her a brief explanation of what is happening to her body and how it is changing. He asked her to go take a shower to get cleaned up and told her where to find the pads from her other sister, who is 16, the ones that she is using, and to use them as the older sister showed her. When she left to go and take a shower, he said, "Shit, I thought I would have had another year." I asked what he meant. He said his other sister, who is 16, started her period when she was 13, and he knows that not all female bodies are the same, but he thought that he would have a little bit more time. He was a bit unprepared for the discussion. I was shocked with that comment and the fact that he knew his sister used pads. Why does he know when she started her period in the first place? Why does he know what she uses? I wanted to ask him why he knows all of this, but kept the question to myself. When his sister returned from her shower, he asked if everything was all right or if she was having any discomfort. I started to get disgusted when he started asking these questions. He told her that she doesn't have to go to school today and that he'll take her for some shopping. After breakfast, he sat her down in the living room and explained everything to her in detail regarding what is going on, what will happen to all of it. He said he helped the other sister out when it was her first time, and he'll help her out as well. He finished with saying that her sister will be able to help her a bit more with the types of products and how they work and everything like that. I was surprised, shocked, and disgusted about all the things he told her. He was correct in everything that he told her, but no brother should know that much about what is happening to their sister's bodies. Unfortunately, his oldest sister wasn't home to be able to help. She had a sleepover at her friend's house due to a project for school, so he took charge of explaining everything. He must have seen the disgust in my face and asked me what was wrong, and it just slipped out. I told him, "You are a disgusting pig." The words just kept coming out of my mouth and I couldn't stop talking. I told him exactly what I thought about the situation and that it's disgusting that he knows so much about both of his sisters and their periods and was now trying to coach the younger sister on what to do. He just asked me to leave and he didn't even argue. He didn't yell at me and he just said, "Leave the house." I know I went about it in the wrong way, but from my stance, it's the same. No brother should know this much about their own sister's body's functions. Am I the asshole?
Yeah, yeah, you are the asshole. What the heck? This girl, she has some internal misogyny that she doesn't realize because you're making it seem like periods and stuff are disgusting and they should be shamed and they should be hidden, where that's not the case. Actually, it's really a thing that we should be celebrating. We should not be shaming him. He's doing an amazing freaking job as a brother.
He's basically a parent.
He's a parent. That is such an amazing thing that he's doing. And most men won't do that.
Yeah. It's a very uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
And he's already being a big person to do that.
She needs to check herself and realize
why she
has those beliefs.
Literally.
Because that is very concerning.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he's taking care of them. He helped the other sister through it. They have nobody. He's basically raising them. Like, they are lucky they have such an amazing brother who actually knows the answers to these questions.
This is so shocking.
Especially
to
when
me.
He's been through it before.
This is very shocking to me to know that like a woman thinks this way. And it's actually really sad that like society has put this into our minds that like periods are this disgusting taboo thing and that men shouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, like it's okay to know how the human body works.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
What does she want him to do? Let this 12-year-old freak out for a whole day while her sister comes home?
What do you think happened with the sister? How would she have solved it?
Yeah, exactly.
There wasn't the older sister and it was just that.
He seems very mature. He seems amazing. He didn't even freak out at her. He just calmly said to leave. And yeah, fucking bye.
Yeah,
you're exactly. A red flag. You got a screw loose.
Exactly. She does have a screw loose. Walking Ooh. Red flag.
Wow. I'm shocked.
So there is an edit.
Okay.
I don't want to sound mean, but he could have just called his sister to explain everything to her, or better, asked me to explain it to her. I would have been a lot better if it came from another girl. Yes, he explained everything correctly and even told her about the different products to use, but said the other sister will explain those better as she has experience in how that actually works. Why didn't he ask me to explain anything to her? I would have done it gladly. There are certain things that should stay private and especially a brother should not know.
No, I totally disagree. That's wild. That's wild to think that way.
Yep, exactly. There's another update. There's an update. To everyone saying he would leave me, you were right. He dumped me.
Good.
I went to his house to apologize to him and his little sister. The 16-year-old sister was there as well. She slapped me and shouted at me, calling me vile names. She shouted at me for trying to break the family apart and trying to say her father is a pedo. My now ex got her to stop and sent her to her room along with the other siblings. I wanted to apologize, but before I could even start, he told me to keep my mouth shut and listen. He forgave me before I even asked for forgiveness, but said that he can't forgive is the fact that I basically turned his little sister against him, making her doubt his intentions. Mm-hmm. It took him almost the full day to get her to talk to him, and she only talked to him after the 16-year-old assured her that he did nothing wrong and only want to help her. His exact words was, "You turned one of my children against me. That is something I can't and will not forgive. You are dead to me. Now get the fuck out of my house." Mm-hmm. He said it with so much anger in his voice, and I could see in his eyes that he absolutely hated me in the moment. I was actually scared for myself in that moment. I have talked to some of my friends about this, and as you might be glad to hear, I am losing friends as well, and even my own sister is now refusing to talk to me. Ooh. Yes, in our house, my father had nothing to do with our periods, and my mom always handled everything. What should I have done? I was taught he did something wrong. I can see I'm in the wrong, but still, why am I being punished for this? His words really hurt me. This is not fair. I didn't even get a chance to explain myself or anything after he was done talking. He just kicked me out of the house. I am blocked everywhere and I can't get a hold of him. I even tried his sister phone, but I am also blocked there.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that that's the way you were raised. And that's what I meant by you have some internalized misogyny that you need to take care of, because that is unfortunately the way you're dad dealt with things and kind of put that in your mind. And I don't think your boyfriend or your ex-boyfriend now should be just kind of accepting that.
No, exactly. He did nothing wrong. He's an amazing person.
Yeah.
And he's lucky he got out early.
Yeah, because there's probably a lot of other things that you believe are right when they're not, or vice versa. And I think you should probably see some therapy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
She had a screw loose on that.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. We've been saying that a lot this episode.
How can you, like, I just wonder how, like, you literally know that he's basically the father. And then how can you be like, that's so gross, you should know nothing about it. Like, it's anatomy. And he's like literally there for his, you know, to help calm his sisters down. He's been through it before with the older sister and everything. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Moving along.
All right. All right. This one comes from AITAH. Am I the asshole for wanting to postpone the wedding with my fiance because she tested me with a fake miscarriage? Trigger warning, talks of miscarriage. I, 26 male, have been dating my fiance Vivian, 28 male, for 5 years, and we found out she was pregnant shortly after I proposed. We were both ecstatic about it, even though it wasn't planned. Vivian's parents were a bit upset that I got their daughter pregnant without being married to her, but having a wedding during her pregnancy seemed to calm them. They're Christians, but not the evangelical type who shove religion down people's throats. She's currently 13 weeks pregnant, and 4 days ago, I had gotten off work, so I immediately headed home to our apartment. I saw her best friend, Carly, 26 female, sitting on the couch looking upset, which is unlike her, so I asked if everything was okay and where Vivian was. Carly told me she was in our main bathroom, so I headed over there and noticed that Carly was following me, which I think was a little strange, but brushed it off. I knocked on the door and asked if I could come in, which Vivian said yes to, so I opened the door and saw my fiancé standing over the toilet with tears in her eyes when she looked at me. I immediately asked her what was wrong, and Vivian sniffled and told me that she miscarried, gesturing for me to look inside the toilet. I looked inside and the water was reddish, and there was a lump what looked like a fetus with a stray piece of bloody tissue sort of covering it. I averted my eyes after I saw it and then started crying. I was genuinely sobbing, which I haven't done since Vivian revealed that she was pregnant, but those were tears of joy. I grabbed my fiance and hugged her tight while crying into her shoulder. Eventually, I looked up and saw in the bathroom mirror that Carly was standing in the doorway with her phone out, like she was recording something or taking pictures. I let go of Vivian and asked Carly what the hell she was doing. Carly stammered and was going, while looking for an excuse. Eventually, my fiance fessed up and admitted that she didn't actually have a miscarriage, and it was a test to see how I would react if she actually lost her baby. I essentially short-circuited, unable to comprehend how the hell Vivian and Carly, despite us not being as close, could do something so outlandishly cruel to me. I snapped out of it when Vivian attempted to touch my cheek and pushed her hands away. I didn't want to be near her or have her touch me at that moment. Carly and Vivian tried to stop me from leaving the bathroom, but I pushed past them so I could go to our bedroom. I haphazardly packed my clothes into an old bag and headed straight for the door and grabbed my keys. Vivian caught up with me at the door and tried to plead with me to stay and talk about what had happened, but I told her I needed time away from her to process what happened. She didn't push for me to stay after that, but seemed disappointed about it. I ended up staying with a buddy of mine, Josh, 26 male, who told me that I could stay as long as I wanted once I told him what happened and commented how fucked up it was that Vivian did that to me. I'll admit I was being childish and dodged Vivian's texts and calls except to let her know that I was safe over the next 2 days. Once I felt stable enough, I invited Vivian to talk. I won't get into everything we talked about, but the reason why Vivian decided to test me was that she was afraid that I didn't actually want the baby and was caring for them because I had to in order not to be a deadbeat. I said that I understood her fears, but legitimately wanted to be a father to our baby. I ultimately decided to stay with Vivian, but on the condition that we postpone the wedding until after the baby was born and we did couple counseling. Vivian said okay and left my friend's apartment. I honestly assumed that was it, and I was going to go home soon after. Boy, was I wrong. An hour after Vivian left, I got messages from Carly harassing me about forcing Vivian to have a baby out of wedlock, since I know that's not what her parents want, while insulting me. It got so intense that I eventually blocked her. I just want some unbiased outsider perspective on this. Am I the asshole for giving this condition to my fiance?
Not at all. You're not the asshole, and I'm surprised he's even sticking around. If you ever, ever tested me like that, or like tested me with like a cheating or like anything like that, like setting me up to see if I would cheat on you or anything like that, I would leave you.
Yeah.
You would break my trust so bad. I would never be able to trust you again.
And no,
I
true.
Love you more than anything else. But if you were to do that for me, like, that would be like an instant breaking the camel's back, because
it's true. You can't
mess around with people like that.
And you do break the trust, because it's like, how am I supposed to believe anything you say going forward?
Exactly.
You literally cannot believe a word that's coming out of their mouth. Every time something bad would happen, you would say, are you lying? Are you joking? Is this a prank?
Is this a test?
Like, you wouldn't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. So it's really shocking that he's staying with her.
Exactly.
But it's not going to work. It's not going to last long. Honestly, you should just cut it off right before the wedding, because once you get married, it's going to be harder to divorce and stuff.
You should cut it off. Go for full custody, because the mom is a fucking screw loose.
Yeah.
No. I would use that in the court battle.
Yeah, 100%. But wait, what court battle?
For custody.
Oh, custody over the baby. Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Like, it's in what world? I always say this, but like, in what world would she think that he was just going to be like, oh, I understand. I understand your worries, and that was a valid test.
Or do you think he's going to go, yay, yippee? Because like, you're afraid that he doesn't want it. So what the fuck did you think was going to happen? Fucking dummy.
This episode made me so angry.
This has been one of the angriest episodes I think it has.
These
stories have been like, whoa.
Yeah. It's wild. Okay.
No silver lining
top comment
on this episode.
Oh, sorry.
There's been no silver lining stories on this episode.
Yeah, it's just been all like...
Yeah, it hasn't been really any feel-good ones or some funny ones. They've been making me all angry.
I know.
Making me riled up over here.
We gotta watch like a comedy movie or something.
Man, our listeners are probably just rattled up right now. They're driving to work.
Okay, top comment. Huge not the asshole. And they're quoting OP. But the reason why Vivian tested me was that she was afraid that I didn't actually want the baby and was caring for them because I had to in order not to be seen as a deadbeat. End quote. And what was the reason Carly needed to record it?
Exactly.
Why does she need to record it?
Yeah, why?
I feel like this was supposed to be like a TikTok or something. Like, they wanted to post it on TikTok for like a funny reaction.
Everybody wants reaction to do everything on the internet now.
To go viral for their like 2 seconds of fame. And
it's
then
not funny.
It just didn't turn out the way they...
You can't play with people's emotions like that.
That's fucked up. Especially your fiance. You're going to marry this man? Why would you ever want to do that?
A lack of respect.
Did it make you happy to see that he was broken over finding out?
I think she was happy at first that he was so sad. I think that probably made her happy.
It probably did make her happy. It probably made her feel relief.
Yeah.
Which is sick.
And then she started to realize how fucked she was.
I don't even know if she did, because he's still...
Once he like, don't touch me and shit, she's like, oh shit, maybe this...
Yeah, but I don't think she truly understands what she did was wrong, because it seems like she ran to Carly and was like, oh, he wants to postpone the wedding now, and like, doesn't see it as a valid reason to do that.
Permanently postponed
and Yeah, break up. Bye.
I just couldn't be there. I couldn't. There, the trust is gone.
It's gone.
I have no trust. Ugh, disgusting.
Yeah. Wild.
Ugh. All of these stories have been wild.
Yeah, it's
been thank a good you guys episode. For coming along the ride with us for episode 13.
Sorry if we made you too angry.
Yeah,
we're
we'll
also
try
angry
to
with
make
you.
It a little lighter on the next one. What should we do for the next theme? I don't know yet. We'll have to think about it. Maybe we'll let you guys know on Instagram. So maybe you guys check us out over there. And yeah, you know, check us out on YouTube. Thank you for listening if you're on Spotify or anything like that. And TikTok, you know, go through all those accounts. We thank you guys so much for all of your support. Anybody who's listening to this is an OG supporter. So
yes.
Thank you very much. If you are new and this is your first episode, make sure you go back. Check out those other 12 episodes.
And welcome.
And welcome.
We welcome you with open arms.
We welcome you to our little Thread Talk family here.
I feel like our episodes are pretty binge-worthy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and then we'll tell you a little bit about our life at the end.
Oh, yeah. What did we want to talk about?
What we did today. We went to an RV show.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys stick around long enough, maybe in a couple of years, you'll see us full-time RV living.
That is the goal.
We think we want to be nomads. We think we want to get a truck and a trailer and a little fifth wheel setup, big fifth wheel setup, maybe with a garage for the dirt bike.
Kitties are coming along.
Cats will come along, and we're going to tour all of Canada, North America, but we'll make sure to avoid the areas where there's active tornadoes.
That's for my mom.
Teresa's mom earlier was like, how can you do this? What if there's a tornado there? I'm like, well, we will leave. We will not go where the tornadoes are. So, yeah, that's something that we've been dreaming about for a long time now. And
yeah, this has been a goal of ours for a while. So
we think it might be possible after our wedding. So hopefully things line up for us and we can kind of pull the trigger. And we thought it'd be cool to explore North America. We can bring the cats in. They can have a new little home and everything. Mm-hmm. And I love dirt bikes. So maybe I can get one with a little garage in the back and we can go to different motocross tracks. Maybe Therese can ride some dirt bikes. We can do some mountain biking, some trails, hiking. We'll do lots of hiking and exploration. Lots of hiking, yeah. So it's been a dream of ours for a long time. So we're hoping that we can do that. We also have almost booked our wedding venue. Wedding venue is almost booked too. So things are rolling along for Teresa and Denver over here.
Yep. Yep. Great updates that we have. And we just want to thank you again. Thank you so much. We would also really appreciate a 5-star on Spotify or Apple Music. On Apple Music, you can leave us a review as well.
And we also opened up the membership tab on our YouTube. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, check out the YouTube members join. There's a couple of actions there if you want to get some special badges for when you're commenting on our videos or if you want early access to the videos, the episodes. We're trying to get them out early on Sunday and Mondays ahead of the Tuesday live date.
Monday.
Sometimes, depending on how we edit it. Like right now, I have it live on members for the latest episode.
Okay,
for episode 12, it's up on the Sunday that we're filming right now. So yeah, if you want to check that out, if you want early access to stuff like that, you can help support us by becoming a YouTube member and getting some extra badges and some early access to the latest episode. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you guys next week for episode 14.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.